How's it going? My name is Eric Davis. I'm managing editor at Fandango. I'm a huge DC fan. I'm a huge Aquaman fan. I am so excited that we have a really crazy, awesome Aquaman film that exists now. I think it's bold, big, it's badass, it is stuck with imagination, it is visually stunning, and it is brought to us by a filmmaker who I feel is conquering genres right now, and he is proving himself to be one of the great visionaries of our time. Before we begin, we do have some special guests here to come in, so you can take out your cameras right now. We have some folks from another world that want to come and say hello. Introducing the Atlanteans. Bring in Aquaman himself, Jason Momoa. Aquaman, meet Aquaman. Looks like you.
It does.
It looks like freakishly like you.
Can I stand here?
All right, Jason's gonna take a picture. He's gonna come up onto the stage here.
Okay. Come on up.
Come on up.
Hi, everyone.
Hey. Now, I want to bring out director James Wan. Amber Heard playing Mera. And playing Orm, Patrick Wilson. Start out with you. This film is like an all-you-can-eat buffet of awesome. I feel like visually.
Seafood.
Yes. Visually, it is stunning. There's so many questions that I can ask you, and I guess the best way to sort of come into it is visually, what was the most important part for you to get right in telling this world, showing this world?
Well, I mean, probably one of the biggest visual I wanted to get right was that costume. Aquaman himself, and that was definitely something we worked hard and long on, and to try and, you know, really nail down the look, to see if we can take this comic book, this classic comic book look, and see if we can kind of translate that to the big screen. You know, that was definitely a big part, but of course, just the overall world. Just I really wanted to capture the vibrancy of Atlantis and all the underwater kingdoms, and you know, kind of really doing the comic book justice and obviously filtering it through my own sensibility and adapting it for the big screen.
Jason, speaking of the costume, how cool was it to see, first of all, yourself there in that costume, but then also seeing yourself for the first time in this film in the costume?
You know what? That was surreal. That's never happened before. Thanks for witnessing that. And then two, now I can put the blame. I'm like, it wasn't me. It was that wax guy. I swear to God, it wasn't me. You know, Mike, the best part of wearing the suit, my first experience, and it was really beautiful. I've actually never told James this, but I put it on. I didn't have a mirror. So he put it on, came out of wardrobe, and I get to see his face. And, you know, he's extremely passionate, and he lets you know right away. But, like, the absolute joy. It looked like a kid when he beamed. of just like, I did it. He's like, he looks amazing. He was super proud, and he didn't say anything. I could just see it on his face. It was a really beautiful moment. And then the second moment was FaceTime my kids, and they were just like, and I took a picture of it too, because they're like, and their eyes were just like blown away. So I mean, that's my two first experiences of like putting that on.
So Jason, what I love about two of this character is that he is from two worlds. You are from two worlds. You were born in Hawaii, grew up in Iowa. How personal was it to play this character?
I mean, we're actors, so it's not really necessary. You know, I'm not to play Drogo. I don't need to have to go through what Drogo did to become him. So, but the cool thing is just being able to relate as it is neat to relate as someone that's, you know, half truly two different cultures, and in each one of those cultures don't know about the other one. I mean, like Hawaii definitely doesn't know anything about Iowa, and Iowans don't know anything about Hawaii. So that was something I could draw upon, and then also just not, you know, not really. I mean, I was accepted, but it's not. It's just, you know what? The other thing too that helped me a lot was just being raised by a single parent, which I think a lot of people, a lot of kids now. I just had me and my mother my whole life, which I could, you know, play for me and my father being that close, and then running very far away. You know, running just like how she did, to go very far away and then to come back to my roots. And those are definitely relatable things.
Amber, Mara is fierce. She is badass. What I love about her in this film is that she goes toe-to-toe with this dude, and he is a big dude. I have stood next to him. What are you most proud of in terms of this character, the way she was written, and the way that you portrayed her?
Well, I feel really lucky to have worked with filmmakers and people who wanted to maintain the integrity of the strength of the original character. Mara is and never wasn't anything other than a badass and a superhero in her own right. She is no damsel in distress. And I'm lucky that I worked with people that wanted to maintain that integrity instead of compromising all of those aspects of strength and integrity and individuality and agency by way of compromising that for, you know, palatability and sexuality and other things that can sometimes take the place of other aspects, which is far more interesting. Those are far more interesting to me. Mara's a kick-ass, badass woman and doesn't need any help from anyone, and I feel really lucky I
could
play.
Patrick, what I love about Orm is the complexity of his character. This is a guy that is a bit maniacal, a bit power hungry, but he also sort of has a point. Like, you're destroying the oceans. Sure. Stop doing that. You know, what was it like sort of playing both sides of that? And do you feel like he is one over the other, or is he kind of a little bit of both?
Well, his fight is perfectly understandable. I mean, there's a long history of Aquaman protecting oceans, fighting whaling, saving fishermen all throughout comic history. I think I like that they left the pollution up to Orm, because it enables you to have a real violent response. And I think there's something sort of cathartic in an audience watching that. I think you'd be hard-pressed to find someone who didn't think we were destroying the oceans. Of course we are, and of course it's something we all need to take heed and to watch. So, not that that's the main theme of the story, but certainly that's Orm's track, when Orm sets out for that, to combine his armies to take on the surface, everybody goes, yeah, I get it. So, it's a fun way in, because then you've got conflict. Then you sort of wonder, right, he's the little brother of the older brother he's never had, and he knows deep down he is the firstborn, and there's all that very Shakespearean complex emotions that he's dealing with. But you start him from a very organic place, then you can go as big as you want, which we do.
let's come out to some questions. Yes, right here.
For Jason, what is the first moment you really felt like Aquaman? And for James, what was your biggest challenge and why Jason?
What was the first time I really felt like Aquaman?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it probably wasn't. I'm sorry.
I I definitely feel that it was a Justice League where sitting on a Batmobile, sitting there staring at Affleck and Wonder Woman. I'm like, I'm sitting on a Batmobile. I'm serving the Batmobile. This is the coolest thing ever. And my kids looking at me like that same way too. I mean that definitely sunk in on Justice League.
For me, what I think is so great with Jason playing this role ultimately is, you see the guy, we've what I love about Jason is just bring his personality to this character and, not bringing him to Aquaman, but bring Aquaman to him. And that's what I love most about it is I get to be the one to showcase the other side of Jason Momoa that not many people have seen, which is the fun side, the funny side of him. And I think, after this movie comes out, people are going to see what a great potential romantic lead he is as well. So,
just want to speak English. I don't want to fight anymore.
But I think that's what's great is Jason comes in and he just makes a statement with this character, and I think that's what this first movie really needs.
Yes, ma'am, right there. Oh, go ahead. Good morning, everyone. First and foremost, I really had so much fun with this flick. It's badass on all levels of badass. And my question is for Jason. When you first learned that you were going to play Aquaman, like, mentally, how did you feel? How did you prepare and take on one of the most iconic heroes known to mankind?
When Zach first told me, I wish I had a picture of my face because it was, I could see Patrick being hired for Aquaman. I'm the last person he should be hiring for Aquaman. I thought I'd be playing a villain. But, when he explained it to me, it was such an honor, and Zach's perspective on it was, it's just so radical. And what it offered to the team of Justice League was just something that we hadn't seen. And I think we, until the end of this movie, we don't get to him being a king until the end. And that's what's so great about this whole thing, is that it's just this reluctant hero. It's someone who has this power that isn't harnessed. He's tried to save people, he's lost people, he's loved people, and he isn't really accepted. Atlantis doesn't want him, and he can't just go do that on Earth. He's gonna be a freak. So he has to, on land. And he's alone. And I think it's the women, strong women behind him, and his father, who's always believed in him, and he's just heard that all the time, and that really make us kings. It's the people that we're surrounded by. And so it's a really beautiful hero's journey to get to this place. And I think I'm very lucky for Zach for coming up with this idea, and then I'm very, very lucky to James for showcasing something that is more than just the weekend in Aquaman's and Arthur's life, which was Justice League. It's just the weekend, and this is, from the four different babies and the boys that who played, up to the point where I come in, is you just get a feel what he's been through, and that's it's cool because it's definitely the director's making this story for me to play. So.
What were the challenges for the stunts? What were the biggest challenges, and how did you prepare for each of you?
My muscles again.
All right.
Thank you. I trained for a long time, but I realized way too long into filming that I'd been training for 5-6 months at this point, and it was the most covered up I've ever been on any set. I was like, are you kidding me? He's the one who's topless all the time. You're the one who had to work on your, but so did you. But I trained for a long time, and we, just by the very need, how large is the scale of this movie required so many different teams and participants and people. Sometimes we would be in the in the lunch tent, and you'd look around and you'd see what 4 or 5 doubles of yourself, that are required on various sets for various reasons, and because it's just so massive in scale to make a movie like this, that we would have a lot of different, on all the different stages, we'd have different things going on. So thankful, at least in my case, I'm very thankful. I did work my ass off, but I'm very thankful to the stunt and the stunt team and the crew that we had.
Yeah, I mean,
wouldn't have been able to do it without them.
No, the stunt team was absolutely unbelievable. I mean, everything that we did in this movie, we were just pushed to the limits, every department. So you had stunt guys that were saying, wow, I've never been in four different types of harnesses in one day. And you know when your stunt team, that by the way does superhero movies for a living, like when they're saying that, you know you're in uncharted waters, forgive the pun. And I think we were all like that. I mean, Jason's done stunts his whole life here and his whole professional career. And I think you know.
The hardest to date,
yeah. For everything. I mean, even, and I'd even go a step further and say, you know, at least in stunts, you're talking about a matter of seconds and in doing one specific action 30, 40 times. But what I found even stranger was so much of our stuff, when you have to hang in wires or different harnesses and devices for minutes at a time just to talk and try to make it seem effortless and like you're just floating in space. That weirdly took its toll even more so to me, because it was just a constant state of dangling. You know, it was a very weird thing.
I was like, I don't want to get back here and watch this. Like this, like, see, I can do the whole scene to see the close-up. I'm like, see, just learn how to go, like, I don't want to put me back up there.
We just saw. What did you learn from your characters?
What did you
learn from your characters?
What did we learn? You mean? Well, I mean,
I learned from Orm.
Jeez. Family first. There, that's right.
I second that.
We're here.
Yes.
Hi, thank you guys. I mean, this was such a fun ride. And one of the things that comes through, even in the most tense moments, is there feels like there's a real bond between all the actors and like a real kind of cool, relaxed vibe on the set. And having spoken with Mr. Wan in the past, I know he sort of majored in a warm, harmonious set. And then watching behind the scenes footage of Mr. Momoa, he's sort of the good vibes wherever he goes. So I'm kind of curious, were there rituals, were there things that you guys did before shooting that sort of warmed you up and sort of made things loose?
Survive. No, I think everyone's really awesome and cool. Like, Patrick's so easygoing. I learned, it's not really like what we learned from our characters, I learned so much from Patrick. You know what I mean? Like, I learned a lot from my...
We all learned from Patrick.
Yeah. So, I just was very happy and privileged to be a part of such a cool team, and so I did. You know, my vibes, man, they're cool when other people are cool. So thanks, James.
It must have been cool to watch. Like, when you guys watched this for the first time, it must have blown your minds.
Yeah, tell us about it, guys. tell us about how cool
it is. I don't think there's, I mean, I'm sure we'd all agree, I don't think there's ever been I've ever seen a film that you've been in where so much is done in post.
You really see it for the first time.
Yeah, so certainly for all our Atlantis stuff. I mean, we would see these little, called the previs, and these little, look like an old video game of, you know, that's how I moved in previs. It's very expressive. And then you see the artwork. But really, I mean, it was all in that guy's head over there. So that was what was amazing, is just to see what he'd been doing for the past year.
Like, oh, that's why you don't really talk to us. I get it now.
Yes, sir. Yep.
Yes, this question is for James. I know that you've probably done movies where you had to work with water and stuff before, but so much of this movie had, you know, water effects and everything. And I wonder, like, as a director, what was the difficulties that you ran into in this movie that you haven't done on a different set just because of all the water effects that you had to use?
Well, you hear it all the time from filmmakers that make movies with water. It's not the most pleasant thing. It's uncomfortable, and it really just slows down the filmmaking process. The irony is, any of the stuff that is actually fully submerged underwater, anything that's in the underwater sort of world, that was actually shot dry for wet, and that's literally what it sounds like. You know, we use the process dry for wet, which is, you know, we shoot, you know, as these actors have said, in these rigs that simulate swimming, floating, and all that. But we did play with a lot of water as well. I don't think you can make an Aquaman movie and actually not have anyone get wet. And again, the irony is when we're actually above the water, when we're dry, that's when I have to drench the actors nonstop. when they're actually out of water, that's when they're dripping with water. But when you're underwater, the irony is people actually look dry, and so that's why we shot it without water. But I would say that the biggest water set that we had in this film was the submarine sequence at the start of the film. That was a huge set piece that we built the submarine of a water tank that we just submerge again and again and again. You know, like we would play out the scene, we would submerge it, and then we would bring it back out of the water tank. We would dry it down, you know, blow dry it down, and then do take two, and then take three. And it was quite a laborious process. And it's a bit of a pain.
I think that permission to come aboard gift is probably like the most popular gift that I see shared on Twitter every single day, thousands of times. Yes, ma'am.
Hi, this question is for Jason. I'm here representing a magazine called Hoppa Mag, over here, right here. Hi. And Hoppa Mag specifically focuses on people who are half Asian or Native Hawaiian. And this movie is obviously going to mean something to any kind of nerdy fan, but do you have something specific for Hoppas?
I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, coming from the Polynesian islands, there's so many water gods that we have, and so much folklore and so many mythology about, you know, how the islands came about, and, you know, from Kanaloa to Tonaloa and Maui, and I just think it's the Poseidon, and I get to play that and honestly be the first, you know, mixed race superhero is just, like, 2018, you're like, really? Is there not one that, and that's, it's a huge honor, and to play it really close to who I am, you know, and all of his imperfections, and I don't have to be Superman, I'm not, don't judge me, but there's, you know, it's I gotta play it in a way where he's really split between those two worlds, and it is, I'm excited for the world to see it, and if I was a kid, being able to see Aquaman is, I mean, and you're like in Fiji or Tahiti, and they just be like, wow, man, this is so cool. And it's an honor. I mean, I'm actually waiting, that's why I don't mean to be disrespectful. I haven't seen Aquaman because it's the first time I'll be able to watch something with my kids for the first time, and I'm going to be really probably emotional and affected. And then being able to hold their hands, it's going to be like, I'm being affected right now. It's going to be a really cool moment to be a dad with a 10-year-old and 11-year-old. Pretty special.
Okay. Hi, guys. Thank you so much for being here. I'm curious, what is the one thing that you really hope for the whole panel that fans will take away from this film? We all know comic book fans can be some of the most critical. So what is the one thing you kind of hope that they will take away?
Well, for me, I definitely, I want the fans to know that I'm a fan myself, and I really respect the you know, the source material, and you know, the fact that you know, for the fans out there that have stood by Aquaman all these years while people made fun of him, made fun of his comic book, made fun of all the characters in his world, I want them to see that this is, you know, finally the opportunity to get revenge, and by that I mean that this movie is made with a lot of love, made with a lot of compassion, and passion, I mean. And I really love this film, and I love these characters and the world that these characters reside in, and I really want them to know that you know, I was very respectful of the source material, and then, you know, and then on the other side is I want to introduce all these guys to a whole new you know, generation of of kids that never grew up with this character. And so I want the two separate worlds to come together.
Well, I'd like that's all the time we have, unfortunately. I would just like to say you all did a tremendous job with this film. It is ridiculously ambitious, and you knocked it out of the ballpark. I'd like to thank James Wan, Jason Momoa, Amber Heard, and Patrick Wilson. These folks have to run, so if you could just stay in our seats for a moment, that'd be great. Thank you, everyone.